Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
But right now it's time we go around Super Bowl 55. Usually we go around the AFC North. We've at times gone around the AFC playoffs. But now we go around Super Bowl 55. And we start things off in Tampa. And remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We go to Tampa and the Pewter Report and Scott Reynolds, who joins us this morning. Scott, when they were at one time, I believe, 7-5, what was the conversation around that Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team, especially about Tom Brady and their head coach, Bruce Arians?
Well, you know, I think the national media tried to make there seem like there was a rift in Tampa just because the Buccaneers had lost 3 of 4 games in November. But you go back and look at those games, and you're talking about three playoff-caliber teams, right? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs was the last opponent to beat the Buccaneers, and then you had the New Orleans Saints, who ended up being the division champions of the South, and then the Rams, who also qualified for the playoffs. So two of those games, the Rams and Chiefs, were close, 27-24, lost by a field goal. Both those games were in prime time, so that stung a little bit. You know, same thing with the Saints. That was an even bigger beatdown, 38-3. But I think the biggest thing is this team needed to get to the bye week. They had the latest bye in franchise history, playing 12 straight weeks of football. And I think once they were able to get the bye week, make some adjustments during that time, get refreshed, rested, healed up a little bit, then you've seen this team really catch fire. They averaged 30.8 points per game during the regular season. But since the bye week, they've averaged close to 35. So they've increased their scoring. Points are down when it comes to the defense. The defense has played much better. And, you know, as a result, they've won 7 straight games, including 3 on the road in the postseason.
We just got a chance to see, you know, a different sport, but LeBron James in person the other night. He looked like he did 10 years ago. Little to no drop-off whatsoever. So you've been watching Tom Brady your whole life. Now you get to see him a little bit more up close and personal. What has he lost? Where is he compared to where he was 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's incredible. The first time I've really seen Tom Brady up close in person on the football field was the very first training camp practice. And he was 42 at that time. I think he turned 43 shortly thereafter. But I remember maybe 5 minutes into the first practice, this was a guy who some of the national media had criticized his arm, saying that he's lost a step, he's ready to fall off the cliff. And I've always maintained the belief, and so did Bruce Arians and Jason Light, that they just didn't have any weapons for him to throw to in New England outside of Julian Edelman. I mean, after Gronk retired, last year was just a debacle. Everything they tried to do to get him some help, from trading for Mohamed Sanu to drafting N'Keal Harry, they tried to bring in different players, Josh Gordon, you know, for a minute. It just didn't work out. And so I think that what I saw in Tom Brady in that 5 minutes of the first training camp practice was he unloaded a 50-yard bomb to Scotty Miller on the money, right in between two defenders. And I just thought, there's no way this guy's going to turn 43. It's got to be upside down. He's got to be 34, because he just doesn't look like he's lost anything with his arm strength. And I think he's held up exceptionally well as the season's gone on. There's been no arm fatigue. So I don't know what he's doing at TB12, but whatever it is, it's working.
Bruce Arians came under fire early in the season because he seemed to actually have critical thoughts of his Hall of Fame star quarterback. And here we are. Things have gotten a little smoother along the ride. How much of an advantage do you think there might be with Bruce Arians, or are you worried about that coaching matchup against Andy Reid?
Well, I think that really, you look at the last week, I think the Bucs coaching staff outcoached Matt LaFleur. And I also think there was the same thing in New Orleans. It finally beat Sean Payton and Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator. And so I think this coaching staff's kind of got some mojo right now. And Andy Reid, it's going to be a tough matchup. Steve Spagnuolo, they certainly got the best of the Buccaneers, especially in the first half. They were up 17-0 in that game at Raymond James Stadium. And then they held on for a 27-24 lead. Todd Bowles made some really good adjustments in the second half to slow down the Chiefs' scoring. So it's going to be really interesting to see this rematch and how it takes shape. But the thing with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady is, you know, Tom Brady played under one head coach for 20 years. That was Bill Belichick. He had a certain style of doing things, never really disparaged the quarterback, criticized the quarterback at all in the media. He just was, that was his way. Bruce Arians will let you know what he thinks.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and Tom Brady doesn't care about that. Like, he wants to be coached. He even said that. He's like, I don't care. He's like, I want to be coached. And if that's Bruce's style, that's fine. Tom Brady's having fun now. It's not that he didn't have fun in New England, but he was having fun in New England because of winning. And when he didn't win, and you saw that last year, that first round playoff exit, he wasn't having fun. I mean, it's a constant stressor playing for Bill Belichick with the tight grip that he has on that team. Down here in Tampa, he's got weapons galore. He's in a quarterback-friendly offense with the quarterback whisperer. And I really think that Tom Brady has been revitalized and rejuvenated at age 43 because of it.
We got Scott Reynolds, Pewter Report, down in Tampa. I'm a Tom Brady fanboy, so I'm not asking this like hoping it happens. But say they win next Sunday. Is there a chance Tom Brady may just ride off into the sunset like, I finished my career, I'm a champion again, I'm the best that ever was, and he ends it?
No, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, just like I said, he's having fun. Yeah. And he knows that he only has X amount of time to do this left. Maybe a year, maybe two. And I think that Tom is feeling good physically. He's having fun. He's reunited with Gronk. He's in great weather in Tampa. He loves the weather down here. Remember, he's a California kid at heart. So I think, you know, the challenge for Tom Brady is to do it again. If they lose, he wants to come back and win it. If they win, he wants to do it again, especially with this football team that should return pretty much intact. They're in really good positions from a salary cap standpoint. And Bruce Arians has already said, win or lose, he's coming back. So why not come back and try to do it again? How much better will Tom Brady be in this offense after throwing 40 touchdowns, which is a single-season record? He did that in a year without a... He did that in a year with no OTAs and mini camps, a truncated training camp period instead of 5 weeks, it was 3 weeks, and no preseason games. The first time he suited up with his players was when live bullets were flying in week one in New Orleans. So how much better can this offense be? And it's clicking right now, but how much better can it be with the whole offseason to develop even more chemistry and work out some kinks and get more acclimated? And I think the second reason is at this point in time, he's got the championships. The one thing that his good friend and nemesis, Peyton Manning, did was he won two Super Bowls with two different teams. And I think Tom Brady has the opportunity to do that, but to do it in two different conferences. And I think that's one element that he can have a little feather in his cap over Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm.
Very LeBron James of him. Very LeBron James. Scott Reynolds, Pewter Report. Follow him on Twitter. Fantastic stuff from Scott Reynolds. We go down to Kansas City. 610 Sports in Kansas City. It's Alex Gold, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, all right, so I woke up this morning. I was looking around on Twitter. I saw a quote from Bleacher Report where Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were talking about people forgetting them. Nobody's forgotten the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody slept on the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex. Come on now.
There's no question. By the way, is this actually Ken Carmen? I'm making sure. Am I talking to Ken Carmen?
This is full-throated. This is me, man. You know it.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Look, this team is finding any sort of motivation. We kind of know how this goes. You're right. Nobody's considered them, you know, like this underdog necessarily. But there was plenty of noise, whether it was talking to you guys or any other show across the country for the last you know, 5 weeks or so, well, they're not winning by enough. They're not winning by double digits. They're not covering. They were, you know, 0-8-1, I guess it was, prior to last week. And so, you know, Patrick Mahomes even sees the graphic that was put up there on Sunday on ESPN that had the check mark next to quarterbacks for the Bills saying they had the QB advantage. Things like that, they pay attention to. Patrick Mahomes was on our station on Monday, and he admitted so, that he's like, you know what, it's not something that I worry too much about, but we kind of welcome it as well. So it's one of those deals where, you know, the Patriots a couple years ago had those T-shirts printed up that they were underdogs. I think any, you know, it's one of those situations where anybody's going to find something to motivate them.
Another injury up front on that offensive line. What does that mean against this pass rush, which dominated last week? Is Mahomes, should he be a little nervous, especially considering how banged up he's been?
Yeah, I'm more concerned on the right side of the line because you're referencing, of course, Eric Fisher, who's out for the season, unfortunately, now, or after the game, and ultimately maybe even next year. And Mike Rimmers, who was a veteran signing that they brought in last offseason, nobody thought much of it. And much like a year ago when they brought in another veteran lineman in Stefan Wisniewski, he's turned out to be a huge, huge pickup for them because they've had so many injuries. And now they're down to a number two left tackle. And Mike Rimmers is going to shift over there. And Andrew Wiley is going to be the right tackle. There's no doubt this will be, if you're going to just break down the game as we will for the next 11 days or so, this will be the area that everybody's talking about because we know the pass rush of the Bucs, what they did to a Packers offensive line that prior to their left tackle getting hurt had been fantastic, and we saw the impact it had on the game. I just think what we're going to see from Andy Reid, and he's done this throughout his tenure in KC, is maybe they're going to have someone else in there to help chip a little bit. But they've been able, along with their offensive line coach, to maneuver this line probably 4 or 5 different times throughout this season. So whether that also means rolling out Mahomes more, which they did a ton against the Bills in that game, and that some of it was to protect his toe injury that he had, but they rolled him out to the right consistently to try to prevent him from going to that other side on purpose. So I think it's a huge storyline. But the Bucs, if they can't pressure with the front four, guys, they really don't have much of a chance because the secondary was so taken advantage of in the first meeting in Week 12 with Carlton Davis, who had a rough go against Tyreek Hill, to say the least, where he put up 200 yards in one quarter.
What about the defense? How do they keep control of so many weapons? It really is a fine embarrassment of riches that Tom Brady seems to have.
No question. And, you know, Tom Brady played really good in the first half against the Packers, and then we saw in the second half, had a couple picks. Unfortunately for the Packers, they couldn't capitalize on them. I don't see that being the case if Tom Brady throws picks, or the Chiefs' offense isn't going to be able to do that. But this might surprise a lot of people. The Chiefs' defense, when you look up the stats, you're going to see that, you know, total yardage and some of those, they're in the middle of the pack, 14th, 15th in the NFL. But they're a top 10 scoring defense, and what has changed for them over the last month or so, and certainly last week, is suddenly they've got Frank Clark playing like Frank Clark in the playoffs again. Playoff Frank, as we call him here in Kansas City. He had 2 sacks last week, did not have a very good regular season. If Frank Clark is on, this defense does take that next step to being elite, and I know people probably roll their eyes a little bit, but this secondary has been the best part of this team all year, and now they've got Frank Clark getting to the passer, to the quarterback a little bit. They are the best defense on throws 10 or more yards down the field in completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio, and passer rating. I don't think a lot of people would think that when you talk about the Chiefs defense, but the secondary has been very, very good.
How much more important, because you look at where the chart, I saw a chart just before the championship games of release points, and you had 3 quarterbacks that were all over the place. I mean, really mobile guys who could move. And then you have Tom Brady where, I mean, if we're at a shooting range, the grouping is incredible. How important does Chris Jones become? How important does the interior become of putting interior pressure on Tom Brady to try to flesh him out there in the pocket?
Yeah, that chart was wild. I know exactly which one you're talking about because I remember Jeff Schwartz, who used to play for the Chiefs, a longtime NFL lineman, offensive lineman, and he said, you know, Tom Brady's an offensive lineman's dream because, yes, he stays in that one spot for the most part throughout the game. And you're right, Chris Jones, other than Tyrann Mathieu to me, and I know my co-host thinks it is Chris Jones, Chris Jones is the most important player on the field other than Patrick Mahomes or Tyrann Mathieu to me in this football game for the reason you brought up. And he's had a very good season. He's lived up to the contract. He's going to have to get pressure up the middle. There's no doubt about that. And hopefully that will allow them to get Frank Clark going even more. But Chris Jones has to have his A game as well in this to force Tom Brady into a difficult situation. But I think it's it's interesting because say what you will about Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, as a head coach, which he was a failure as a head coach in St. Louis some years ago. As a 10-38 was his record. But he has been able to figure out how to game plan against Tom Brady. Go back to his days with the Giants when they were able to win that Super Bowl. Go back to the last couple meetings that the Chiefs have had against Tom Brady. They have won both of those meetings, as a matter of fact. Spags has been able, when they go against elite talent, they've been able to find an answer for it. Whether it's Tom Brady directly in this case, whether it was everybody saying, how are you going to stop Derrick Henry? How are you going to stop, unfortunately for you guys in Cleveland, how are you going to stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? They've been able to answer it every time.
Were people in Kansas City, were some of the fans rooting for Eric Bieniemy because of the story for him to finally get that opportunity and get a head coaching job? Or are they quietly thrilled that he's going to be back again and that there's no distraction right now as they get ready for the Super Bowl?
That's a great question, because we go back and forth, and some of the listeners will try to come up with, frankly, some excuses of why he hasn't been getting a job. I'm sure you guys are obviously well aware of everything, the dynamics.
Well, he's apparently the worst interview in the history of jobs.
That's right. Yeah, he just can't interview. Heck, he may not even want to be a head coach. You know, these are all the things that people have thrown out there. I think certainly people want him back because they understand, you know, how vital he's been, along with Andy Reid, no doubt, to the success. But I would like to think the majority, and I do think the majority of people understand, look, this is someone that has earned the opportunity to get a head coaching gig. And seeing what's gone on in the NFL and how the Rooney Rule hasn't worked out, and how they tried to add some more incentive to it this year, and how it resulted in, you know, one minority coaching hire in Robert Saleh. And so I think there's a lot of people that would prefer him maybe not end up in the AFC, if we're being honest, because people do view him highly. They say, hey, Greg, you want to get a head coaching gig, hopefully you end up in the NFC. Even Andy Reid kind of joked about that. But no, I think people want to see him get the opportunity, and, you know, obviously Houston was, you know, there's that final spot potentially remaining.
Alex, we thank you very much. And we appreciate the time. Alex Gold, 610 Sports in Kansas City. That Bieniemy thing, I hear about that interview thing, and then you watch one of the clips of him, you're like, no, that's not the problem. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, I'm hoping that's why Houston's kind of beating around the bush there. Maybe they're going to give it to him. I do think there's got to be a part where he has to be choosy. Tiki Barber talked about that, where he may very well be choosy. He doesn't want, like, you can't, the Jets, yeah, they're in a market. If you had the choice, would you pick the Jets? If you had the choice, there are certain teams you'd pick. There are certain teams that you can't pick. And I think it's a very difficult thing. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, of course, we have to soften the blow still. And, Lima, I can't believe you wanted to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I want to get back into that because I think we're really hurting ourselves with the history of the game. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, Live in the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.